Very quickly, we want to go straight into the study because this is one whole chapter and there's a lot to cover, but of course I will not be able to, during this short time, to go into every single detail. So last week we have looked at the mercy seat, the place of atonement, and now we come to the sacrificial system, which again was a foreshadow or foreshadowing of the once for all perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord on the cross. And it is an economy of worship, as we will see later on in the book of Leviticus, which operated from the foundational principle of substitution. And that is what all this offering is all about. It is based or operated from the foundational principle of substitution. And of course, as you all know and should know by now, it ultimately points to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His finished work on the cross. Now, so it is God's design and intention to use all this, the types, the symbolism, to teach the children of Israel and to teach us. And particularly in the book of Leviticus, is to teach us of His holiness. And not only that, of His righteousness. And not only that, is also to show us from this book, particularly, how sinful men can approach God and should approach God in the way that is acceptable to God. Not in your ways and in my ways as we fancy, but in the way that is acceptable to God. And this is what we're going to discover through our study of this book of Leviticus. And of course, we can only look at chapter 1 this evening. So please turn to chapter 1, and very briefly, we want to consider from verses 1 to 17, the significance and the value. What is God trying to tell us and show us here? Like most of you and like most believers, I personally consider the book of Leviticus as one of the book in the Bible that is very difficult to read and to understand, and I don't have a clue what on earth is God trying to teach us or teach me through this book. Of course, except that I generally know that it is concerning the holiness of God and also to teach us about separation from sin. That's what basically the book of Leviticus is trying to teach us. But all this is beginning to change as I spend time studying it, learning from other preachers, and uncovering it for myself. The beauty and the wisdom of God in giving us this book. And I challenge you that if you can do a study on by yourself, and in fact do a systematic study of the book of Leviticus, and you will uncover for yourself the marvelous wisdom of God in using this to teach us something of Himself and to teach us the way of life everlasting. God, in His infinite wisdom, decided to use all these rituals, which we think is of no significance, and the types in the Old Testament to show us how sinful man can now approach God, made possible through an acceptable sacrifice. And how His redeemed people should worship Him, how His redeemed people ought to live their lives in accordance to God's model of holiness or holy living, because He commanded us in Leviticus 19 verse 2, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." So let us begin by looking at the burnt offerings in Leviticus chapter 1. Firstly, we see in this chapter, or this first chapter, the painfully expensive price or the cost of burnt offering. It is a very painful, expensive, or costly burnt offering. Look at verses 1 to 3. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, he shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt of a sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. So it must be noted here that the offering must be completely voluntary or free will. God did not command it that you must come before him to give that offering. But he did say this, if any man of you bring. He did not demand that we must come with our own. It's not a commandment per se. This speaks very well of the gift of salvation which God proffered to you and me. God did not force us to accept his offer of salvation. He did not drag us. He did not force it down on our throat. It is a free gift or free offer of salvation. He says, if any man of you bring, this is clearly echoed by the words of our Lord Jesus when he says this in John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So let us not say that God forced us to accept his offer of salvation. God did not force it to us. It is offered to you. Yes, it is freely offered to you and me. Our God is not a taskmaster and force us, you know, tie our hand behind to demand of us. But we see that though God did not demand us to bring an offering or to come before him with that offering, he says that if we do bring, if you and I decide to bring an offering, alright, if we want to come before God with that offering, he clearly stipulated in his word what can be brought before him as an offering, as you see in the last part of verse 2. Ye shall bring of your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. And verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male. So all the instructions are given there. It must be a male, and it must be without blemish. So we are to follow the instruction given. If we do come before the Lord, alright, we are to come in accordance to the way God wants it to be done, not our way. So here we note that the sacrifice must match or should match with the status of the individual. God is very fair. For the rich, it is what? A bullock. Right? For us here, we don't quite understand this. When Carol and myself, when we serve in Maasai land, and then we fully understood. For them, bank account is not Lloyds, NatWest, and what have you. They don't keep their money in bank. Their money is all the cattle, cows, goats, sheep, and of course their wives. The more wives, richer they are. Alright? But for the Maasai, is all their cattle. So you see, God is very fair. For the rich, verses 3 to 9, the bull. For the middle class, it is an offering of a sheep or a goat, verses 10 to 13. For the poor, it is a turtle dove or young pigeon, verses 14 to 17. So therefore, what all this tells us is that the sacrifice required valuable resources from you and me. It is painfully expensive or costly in correlation to the person or to the one who offered it. Notice also that the whole offering is ascended up. The whole offering ought to be given up. Verse 9. But his inwards and his legs, the inwards there referring to the internal part or the internal organ of the animals. Alright? The priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Brethren, here we are instructed that the sacrifice which God instituted for the children of Israel is the whole heart of Old Testament worship for the children of Israel. The burnt offering is a whole offering given to God, not some part of it. Nothing is left for the priest. You notice here, nothing is left for the priest. Everything is to be offered up to the God. Nothing is left for the priest. The instruction from God is very specific and clear. The animal must be from the herd. If it is a bull, in the case of the bull, look at verse 3, it must be from the herd. Meaning to say from your herd, not your neighbor's herd, not your father's herd, your herd. Alright? And from the flock, meaning to say, again, same, for the sheep or the goat, it must be from your own flock, not your neighbor's flock. God is not going to accept something on behalf of, no, you bring it yours. If it is a turtle dove, you must go and buy it. If it is a pigeon, you must go and buy it. It must cost you something. That is the significance of it. Alright, and there is a greater lesson later on as we see in this. Okay? And so what this means is that what is offered up must not be from your windfall. Must not be from, for example, the Israelites go out hunting and shoot perhaps a deer or... No. It must be from your own herd or flock, where you have spent time, energy, effort in raising up that flock or that herd. You see that? It must cost you something. Cost your time, cost your energy, cost your effort. Furthermore, the offering must be the best. No blemish for the bull. Alright? It must be male. Why male? Well, it is symbolic again. Male signifies the strongest, the choicest. Okay? Without blemish means what? Pure, clean. Not one eye boko or something like that. One eye gone, half a horn gone. No. Every whole animal must be perfect, spotless, clean, choices for the Lord. Okay? And so that is the requirement. And the same requirement for the goat, for the sheep. Same for the turtle doves. And the pigeon should be what? Young, not old, half-dead pigeon. Alright? It must be young pigeon. Again, of course, it is symbolic. It is to tell us that God wants the best. Not half-wing, cannot fly. No, no, no. You don't offer up to God all this. It's not acceptable. It must be young. It must be the best. The whole animal must be the fittest. So the essential greeting for a burnt offering, as I said before and I repeat again, it must be costly. It must cost you and me some pain, so to speak. Alright? Therefore, let us realize that just as God demanded such a painful or an expensive burnt offering for us, He did not set such a high demand that He Himself could not meet. See? You know, when we were in the armed forces, the officer always tells us this. Gentlemen, I will not ask you to do anything that I myself cannot do. Alright? That's good leadership. He says this to us. If I can do the obstacle course, alright, obstacle course is referring to that one where you climb the rope, walk the pole, and, you know, make sure you don't fall, climb the wall, one whole circuit, full battle order. That means with all your rifle, everything, helmet, everything. He said, if I can do it in 9 minutes, you guys must do it. I tell you, it's no joke. Seriously. So you see, same here, the Lord demands such a high standard on us, but realize, why? He met it. He gave us the very best, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He caused God, just as He caused you and me pain, or our time of our energy coming to worship God, coming to serve the Lord in the various ministries. Sure, you know, you got to travel, you got to pay for your petrol, you got to pay for your traveling. It costs you, right, to come and worship the Lord, to serve the Lord. Instead of staying at home to watch TV, you come for prayer meeting and this and that. Instead of doing something else, you make that sacrifice, so to speak, of your time, of your energy, to come, to have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, you did that. You are willing to offer that. It costs you something. But remember, there's no comparison with what God did for us. He demanded that from us. He met it Himself, far above what we can meet. He gave of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, His only Son, to be that perfect, ultimate sacrifice for us. This is what He has done for us. And when God looked upon His Son, does it not grieve Him? Have you forgotten that passage where we read that God turned His face from His Son? Do you know how significant it is? Now, that fellowship, that close fellowship between Father, God the Father, and God the Son, right now the Father has to turn, because the wrath of God was poured on His own Son. Those of you who are parents, you will understand this far better than I do. Can you imagine that? That your son suffering, does it not grieve you? You know, when I fall sick, my mom is like, my dad is all, wow, you know, what happened, this, that, they have to try. So look at it right now. God right now pouring His wrath on His own Son. It caused so much pain to God. And so let us not be quick to say that we have made sacrifices to serve the Lord, to worship the Lord, or to be a disciple of the Lord, to follow after the Lord. Our sacrifice is no comparison with what the Lord has done for us. Our giving up of our time, our energy in coming to church, in traveling long distance, coming for prayer meeting, coming for fellowship meeting, cannot be compared with the sacrifice Christ made for you and me on the cross. If it does not cost us anything to follow the Lord, let us not call it a sacrifice. Let us not call it a sacrifice. It must cost you and I something. That's the meaning of the word sacrifice. Do not abuse that word and say, oh, I sacrifice for the Lord. I gave up some of my hours of study, of work, you know, to serve the Lord. It must cost you something. And that is the demand. Read what David says in 2 Samuel. Please turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 21 to 24. And there you see for yourself. I want to cut short that due to time, and want to very quickly, you read for yourself 21 to 24, and I'll just bring you to verse 24, where David said to Arunael, he says this, nay, because he was willing, he was willing to give to David what he requested, the threshing floor, and to build an altar there. But David said no. What did David say? Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee as a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. See that? And that is to teach us, if it is nothing to us, it doesn't cause us any pain, it doesn't cause us our time, our energy, our effort, it is not a sacrifice. That sacrifice, if we want to come, if any man of you come, this is what you must bring. If not, don't come. That is the demand. You look at again at the example of, or rather the account of Abraham when he offered up Isaac. Do you know that when God demanded Isaac, God demanded Abraham to offer up Isaac, what offering? Whole burnt offering. The whole of Isaac offered to God. Do you realize that? Not just take the knife. Okay. What that signifies is whole of Isaac. Abraham's best love, Abraham only love, must be offered up whole. Nothing is to be hold, is to Abraham is not supposed to hold back anything. Whole burnt offering. So does this not give us a picture of what God has done for us? He gave of his whole son to us. He did not just send half of Jesus to us. You see that? That's beautiful. When I studied, wow, is when Abraham offered up Isaac, it must have torn his heart, isn't it? You who are fathers and mothers, if your children fall sick and pain, you tell yourself, I might as well the sickness come upon me. You see what I'm trying to say here? So Abraham offered up the whole burnt offering to the Lord. And that is why God was so pleased with him, because he did not hold back anything from God. He was prepared to trust God by faith. He says that God will provide. God will raise up Isaac if I would offer him up to God. And so, brethren, it is the same for us when we offer ourselves up in worship, in service for the Lord. We are to offer our whole being, our soul, our mind, our heart, our all. Secondly, the whole soul participation in the burnt offering. It is the participation of the whole person. It is a personal engagement. Notice here that no one is helping the person who is offering up the service, you know. You look at the verses, right? In verse 4, he shall put his hand upon the head of the offering, and it shall be accepted for him. He shall kill the animal, and only the priest is supposed to do the sprinkling, all right? And he shall flay the burnt offering, that means cut it up, or skin it, all right? And he is supposed to do the washing, verse 9. But his inwards and the leg he shall wash. All this means that the person who offered up, you are to participate. It is your responsibility, it is my responsibility when we come before God, we make sure our whole attention is here. Not sitting down here and then the mind somewhere else, thinking of boyfriend, girlfriend, father, mother, shopping, chai tau kuih or whatever. Whole mind, soul must be participating. Please realize that this burnt offering is not just for the purpose of going out, burn an offering, and then for atonement of sin. You know, it is a whole process of worship here. This is telling us about Christian worship also. It is not just to point us to Christ that He is the ultimate sacrifice and God made that whole sacrifice for us. It's not in that. It is telling us also of our worship, how we ought to worship God. You see, the person is supposed to slice the throat of the bull, is supposed to watch the blood oozing out, and then the priest collect it. All this helps us to see something, very important fact here. Though the whole sacrifice is participated by the person who offered up, notice here it is priestly assisted. Meaning, Christ is our mediator. No one can come before God except through the priest. No one can come before the throne of grace except through our Lord and Savior Jesus. Yes, we are supposed to come, but we come through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not going to force us to come, but when we do come, we come through Christ. And so you see the priest assists only in collecting the blood, and the priest is supposed to sprinkle. Not the person who offer up. That person is to participate in all the cutting, the killing, the skinning, and all that. But he is assisted only by the priest. No one else. No one is going to do it on his behalf. You see the significance here? No one is going to do it on his behalf. You and I must participate. Yes, coming must be done by us, but God did not drag us into his presence. We come only through our mediator, our Lord Jesus. We must do our part, but not apart from the priest. We must do our part, but not apart from the priest. So it is the same when we come to worship and to be accepted of God. We come through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is also the same for us when we serve. We are to give of our best, the whole offering. All right, the sacrifice have to be made by you and me. We as worshippers, though personally and fully engaged and responsible for cutting up the sacrifice, the worshipper required the God-appointed mediator before he or she can come into the presence of God. We cannot approach the throne, or no one can approach the altar except the priest. So we are to offer up our all. Our whole soul must be participating in our worship, in our service of the Lord when we come for worship. Thirdly, the timely and appropriate occasion for the burnt offering. When is the burnt offering is to be offered up? On two occasions. Upon our resolution to obey God, firstly. Look at what Abraham did after he offered, after he had obeyed what God commanded him to sacrifice Isaac. In Genesis 22 verses 1 to 14, you can turn to that. And when Abraham obeyed God and God was pleased with him, what did Abraham do? He offered up a burnt offering unto the Lord in worship. Now, the second occasion that where a burnt offering is required is upon the committing of sin. One text where I can refer you to is in Job chapter 1. When the children of Job, they gathered, you know, for their celebration and coming together for a family gathering. After that, what did Job did? Job offered up a burnt offering on behalf of all his children. He said that peradventure my children have sinned against God. So Job offered that up. And so it is upon such an occasion we are instructed, upon committing of sin, we are instructed to offer up a burnt offering. And the other accounts that I can quote to you is 2 Samuel 24. When David sinned, what was David's sin? David's sin is was numbering of the people, meaning to say he did not trust in God, right? He did not trust in God. He thought he had to number the people so as to give himself the confidence that I have so many men. And that was very displeasing to God, and God sent a plague. And what happened after that? You can read for it for your, read it for yourself in 2 Samuel 24, verses 25. Is it? Yeah, 2 Samuel 24, you can read it there. And David thereafter, when he realized his own sin, he built an altar, alright, and offered a burnt offering and a peace offering unto the Lord. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. So that's what happened. As for us, when should you and me come before God to offer a burnt offering? When we sin. Believers do sin, and we should come before God to confess our sin. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Next, how often should we offer the burnt offering? What was the instruction from the Lord to the children of Israel through Moses. Turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 28, and I read to you verses 1 to 6. Numbers 28. How often should we confess our sins to God? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, My offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savour unto me, shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, This is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even. And a tenth part of an offer of flour for a bird, for a meat offering, mingled with fourth part of an hin of bitten oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savour sacrifice, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. It is what? Day and night. One in the morning, one in the evening. For the children of Israel, Levites were their representatives. The Levites were like lightning rods to take the wrath of God. And so they offer up the offering, the burnt offering, on behalf of the children of Israel. And the Levite is the one that will absorb, so to speak, the wrath of God. And so you and I, how often do we confess our sin? Morning, evening. Daily, that means. We are to confess our sins before the Lord daily. Why? Because in the night, we are defiled. Our whole body is defiled. And so before we start off the new day, we are instructed to present ourselves acceptable to God. How? By confession of our sin. After a day's work, after a day of exposure in the world, we are also defiled. And so we come back to our home before we retire and rest. We are to confess our sin so as to cleanse ourselves, renew ourselves by the Spirit, and preparing ourselves for the new day tomorrow. That's how it is. You see the beauty and the significance of God's instruction? Fourthly, the predominant purpose of the burnt offering. The purpose is to appease God, to be accepted of God. Verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. The sacrifice, we are to offer our burnt offering because we are a sinful people, and our sins are always present in the sight of God. And therefore, to appease God, to make ourselves acceptable unto God, we are instructed to offer up, to confess, to come before God for forgiveness and cleansing. The sacrifice is to be continuous without stop. Why? Because for the children of Israel, it is a matter of life and death. That's how serious it is. Please realize that during this time for the children of Israel, God is their king. They are living their lives ever in the presence of God. God is watching over them day and night. And so for them to survive or to be accepted in the presence of a thrice holy God, the Levite or the priest must offer up that burnt offering for the children of Israel continuously. We will never be able to fully appreciate and understand that because we are not living at that time. For the children of Israel, it is very, very serious. That's why the whole sacrifice system of the Old Testament is the main and key element in the life of the Israelites. And so they are to offer up their offering or this burnt sacrifice continuous, to offer up a sweet savour unto the Lord in worship. As you read of it in chapter in verse 9, verse 13, verse 17. Verse 9. To be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. God must smell that aroma, so to speak, from the offering. And when God smells that, He knows that the sacrifice, or rather God has accepted their sacrifice, and God is pleased, and God will not pour His wrath upon them. Genesis 8:20-22. What happened when after Noah came out from the ark with the animals, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings upon the on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter, and the day and night shall not cease. You see, the Lord is well pleased when that offering is brought to Him. When that sweet savour, aroma arose to heaven, God was pleased. So it is for the purpose of pleasing God and making us acceptable of God. And then fifthly, we see in the burnt offering what? It contains the provision of atonement. Atonement on His behalf. Verse 4. To make atonement for Him. You know the day of Yom Kippur? And that's where the Jews celebrate the Day of Atonement. Alright? And so it is the celebration of that atonement made by the burnt offering. And you notice here in verse 4 how that ought to be done. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And that is significant. The person who offers up the animal must rest his whole arm or hand on the head of the animal. Symbolically, it means that all his sin, all the wickedness that he has done is now transferred to the animal. And that is important. You see that? It is the transferring of that, our sins. And so it is the same for us when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. We are actually transferring in that sense. Or God took our sins and imputed on His Son for us. Now I want to bring sixthly to you the obvious typical elements of the burnt offering. You see a typology or the symbolism here. And I want to bring you back to the story or the account of Abraham offering up of Isaac. Who prepared the offering? Abraham. Abraham brought Isaac. The father prepared the offering. But oftentimes we miss out one element. Look at Isaac. He may be young at that time, but yet you see something in Isaac. The willingness of Isaac to lay down his life quietly without questioning the father. And this gives us a picture of what? Of Christ. Christ obeyed the will of God the Father right from the start to the end. Christ did not dispute, argue. Our Lord was just like a sheep dumped before the shearer, as Isaiah to us.
And that's the beautiful picture, isn't it? Of when Abraham offered up Isaac. Isaac submitted to the will of the Father without question. And so it is the same for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The submission to his Father, laying down there quietly to be offered up. He was willing. So is our Savior willing to be offered up for us. And this is the kind of sacrifice that God is well pleased. This is the kind of sacrifice that God will accept.
And so for us in application, I want to submit to all of us, is that we also ought to give of our all to the Lord for us who are believers. Let us offer up our whole burnt offering, not just the last minute of our energy, which I'm also guilty of, not the last bit of our time, and we spend our time, our energy on all other things that we like to do, and then we start to open up our Bible to read, and by that time, I've said this before, you start to close your eyes and you agree everything to what the Bible says. Let us not do that. The Lord demands us of our best, without blemish. And so let us give of our all to the Lord. And let us not also think that the Lord forced us to accept his salvation. It is freely offered. It is freely offered. Of course, we know that it is the work of the Holy Spirit. God did not force us to come. He draws us unto himself. He did not force us. He freely offered up himself to us. Just as he also gave us of his Son, of his all, to you and me. Let us also frequently come before God in confession of our sins. Why? The offering is done morning, evening, evening, morning. And so let us come. We are invited to come before the throne of grace. Yes, we have defiled ourselves during the whole day out in work and in study, bombarded by the things of this world, and we have sinned against God. Surely we have each day. And let us come back in our private closet to confess of our sin, to ask for cleansing, so that we can once again be made acceptable unto God, renewed for the new day, to serve the Lord, to glorify him. And so we are invited to come. And therefore there is another lesson for us, leaders of the church, and those who are in leadership, in the fellowship group also. We are also representing the people, just like the Levites represent the children of Israel, just like the father, like what Job did on behalf of his children. We are representing our children, we are representing God's people, and therefore we ought also to offer up our prayers. To who? For who? For those who are under us, who are under our leadership. Fathers for children, pastors for the flock, for the congregation, fellowship leaders for the members of the fellowship group. You got to pray for them. And that is also another lesson for us here in this study of the burnt sacrifice or the burnt offering. And upon our commitment of sin, let us confess it. Let us come before the Lord. And when we sin, let us remember to go to our flock, to go to our own herd. Nobody is going to do all this or confession on our behalf. God is not going to accept that. When we sin against God, don't rely on your father and mother who are Christians. You are answerable to God for your sin. Your fathers and mothers were answerable to God for their sin. And so this is another lesson that I'd like to bring out briefly to all of us. And also remember, brothers and sisters, when we come for worship, it is a whole soul, mind, body, heart participation. No distraction. No body here, mind, heart somewhere else. This is what is demanded of us. And so let us come with wholehearted worship to engage our soul in the exercise of all this for the glory of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this brief study of the book of Leviticus, chapter 1. We pray, Father, that You will continue to help us to see in Your word the beauty of Your instruction, Your marvelous wisdom, and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to appreciate further Your word, and help us, Lord, to practice what You have instructed us. So bless us, we pray, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn, 292. 292.